wait.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are live for our Selection Sunday March to Madness preview, live from Viking Scott's basement at the bar. I'm going to go to Scott first. How are we doing tonight? How are we feeling?
All good. Excited. It's tournament time. It's like Christmas in March.
Yes, it is. And he's got his board back here with the Overtime Sports Network written on it, representing the brand. Of course, I'm with Zach Nickel as well. Nickel, how are you doing?
Good. Brackets out. Glad IU is a 4 seed. You know, we weren't in the bubble this year, so that was nice. One of the best days of the year. I'm ready.
That's right. And Aaron Oros is here as well. Aaron, how are we feeling?
We're feeling all right. We'll see how this do they have the times out yet for the game?
They come out
usually about an hour after the brackets.
Okay, so it's all about Indiana on Friday, baby. All about Indiana on Friday.
We do know the bracket, and we're bringing in for the very first time Timmy Angel, the son of Scott. Timmy, how are you?
Good. Excited. Best 4 days of the year.
Notre Dame, unfortunately, did not make the tournament. How do you feel about that?
Not good.
For the record,
worst season as a fan of experience.
There you go. Wow.
Timmy is an IU grad, and he roots for Notre Dame basketball. It doesn't make much sense, but hey, I'm not going to knock him for it. So, guys, I say we get right into it. I'm going to pull up the bracket here on screen so you guys can see it live on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, wherever you're watching us. But if you are on Twitter, friendly reminder, if you want to comment and interact with us, go to Facebook or go to YouTube. We will not see your comments if you leave them on Twitter. But we're going to go to the South region here first, and, number one overall seed being the Alabama Crimson Tide. Other teams in here, you got Virginia as the number 4, Baylor the number 3, Arizona 2. It's an interesting region here, Scott. Alabama getting the overall number 1, like I said. How do you feel about them? You think they're the best team going into this?
Actually, if you do it by the eye test right now and you go by past results in the last 2 weeks, yes, Alabama's probably the best team in the country right now. Kansas with a tough loss to Texas twice in a couple week span. So I would say you probably got it right. And only because of Houston's conference that they come from, even with 2 losses all season, just can't put them above a top conference champ like Alabama, in my opinion.
Nickel, Aaron, you guys agree with Scott over here, Alabama being the overall number 1?
Yeah, I think them winning the SEC tournament kind of solidified that. I thought Alabama, if they did win that game today against A&M, they would be the number 1 overall seed. My biggest question was, you know, the whole Brandon Miller stuff, if that was going to kind of get in their way, but they ran through the SEC tournament and they're playing hot going into the actual tournament. So, yeah.
Aaron, Timmy, anything you want to add on about Alabama getting the overall number 1?
No, I thought you could have made a case if Kansas would have beat Texas and won the Big 12 tournament. Then I thought they probably deserved it more than Alabama, but it didn't happen, obviously. So, I got another place.
Yeah, they're number 1 all year, won their conference tournament, did what they need to do, get the number 1. So, yeah.
So let's get crazy here to start off. I love upsets. We all do. It's why we watch the tournament. Whoever wants to go first, open forum here. What is one upset you see in the first round of this region?
Oh, God. What's one upset you don't see in the first round of this region?
I'll go first. I actually like Furman a lot.
Really?
I actually like Furman, too.
They have really good guard play. And I think Virginia, obviously, they have Kihei Clark, whatever how you say his name. And I don't know. I just think Furman's guard play could actually win them that game.
Plus, Virginia does, you know, they're a slow-paced team, don't score a lot. So, Furman, I know Virginia has a great defense, but Furman can definitely outscore them. So, I would not be surprised, though, if Virginia lost that, a 4-13 matchup? Yep.
Scott, I know you got one. You got to have an upset here in the South.
I'm actually, just because of the way Baylor is playing, I watch a lot of basketball, and the Gauchos from UC Santa Barbara can play some basketball, and only because of Baylor's recent – they've lost twice now to Iowa State, and Iowa State was in a slump. They lost twice in back-to-back games, and I'm just not sold on where they're at right now. Now, they're a quality team season-long, but I think the Gauchos coming off winning their conference tournament and moving into this game stand a chance, and that would be one I would look at. It's funny you mentioned the Furman game, because if Furman doesn't beat Virginia and seeds hold, you have a second-round game with San Diego State.
Yeah.
And San Diego State and Virginia are known for their defense. And then the winner of that game probably, maybe more than likely, gets Alabama, and a complete contrast in styles. Alabama wants a run gun. If you even watch them today, they're up 15, 18 points. Forget about passing the ball. First open three, they're chucking it. So just looking ahead a little bit in that bracket.
Yeah, Alabama is a very exciting team to watch. Aaron, is there any upsets from the South region that you particularly like?
Yeah, I watch Virginia play all the time, and I hate their style of basketball.
You're going to have to probably talk up the cameras right
there. Okay. Well, I'm kind of looking through here. I like Scott's pick too with Baylor. They're very uncharacteristic of them to not be able to play defense. I think they're the worst defensive team in the Big 12 this year. They just were horrendous, and so I just don't like the way that that's going too. Scott loves his Utah State, but they're going against Missouri. That one's kind of that's going to be a really good game. I think West Virginia beats Maryland. I think they give Alabama some trouble.
Run for their money. Yeah.
I think the Big 12 is by far.
I like West Virginia.
That's
interesting.
The Maryland West Virginia, obviously 8-9 matchups are always going to be entertaining. I believe the 9 seeds actually have a better winning percentage, but I think it's 51%. But we got Deacon over here with the sports book open. Can you give us a line for Maryland West Virginia, please? Very curious.
Maryland is 2-point dogs.
Early thoughts on that one, guys.
Well, it's the only Big 10 team in this region out of 8. And that's a tough matchup. I like their guards at Maryland, but other than that, they don't have like a big presence down low. And West Virginia is well rounded. That should be a track meet. I mean, they're going to get up and down the court. West Virginia likes to chuck with Huggins there as the coach. I just think it's a really, really good game.
Do you have an over under two for that game, the Maryland West Virginia? They don't have those lines out yet.
They do.
Oh, what is it?
140.5.
Okay, so yeah. On the higher end of things, but not way out of line.
And the thing I like, you know, the Big 12 teams going into the tournament, I really like pretty much all of them that made the tournament. So I think just with how the Big 10 stacks up against the Big 12 team, I really like West Virginia in that one. And I think if, you know, they do win that game, match up with Bama, that'd be a really good game.
Man, I'm telling also, even if Baylor wins that first game, I think, I'm trying to look. Man, I think either NC State or Creighton are going to be.
So NC State's interesting too, because this is one of the bubble teams we were keeping an eye on. They're solidified into the tournament as the 11 with no play-in game. Timmy, how do you feel about that?
I'm actually okay with NC State getting in, but I also think they have no shot against Creighton in that first game.
Okay.
I think Creighton's size and Creighton's shooting just is going to wear NC State down eventually, and they're not going to be able to keep up.
I can't leave this bracket without talking about Utah State. You mentioned I follow this team all year.
Here we go.
They're the Wisconsin version out west, and I thought they were second going into their conference tournament, 3-point shooting percentage. They fall into fourth. We had someone pull that up a little earlier. They can flat out shoot the ball. They have three guys. They have a guy transferring by the name of Funk, number 23, that can just light it up from anywhere, unlimited range. And that Missouri game, I just thought they got a really tough draw. You happen to knock up Missouri, then who do you get? You get Arizona with all that size. So as much as I like them going into the tournament and make a nice, not a long run to the Final Four, but win a couple games, get to the Sweet 16, that is really a tough bracket.
Tough matchup.
Yes, it is.
It's an interesting one. So let's just get to it. We're going to give our Elite Eight picks, and then our pick to advance to the Final Four. Timmy, if you're ready, I'll let you go first here. Who do you like coming out of the South region?
Elite Eight, I like Alabama, and I also like Creighton in the Elite Eight.
Ooh.
And then I'm going to take Alabama to win the South.
Okay. Why are you so big on Creighton?
I don't know. I just think their shooting's really good. They are the big guy, number 11. He could match up with just about anybody. And I really like that region. I don't think there's many teams that are that tough down there. Arizona's really good, but other than that, I really like Creighton.
Yeah, we got 8 people watching us live and 2 actually live in the audience here in the basement. So if you got any questions for us or any comments, please leave it live in the chat. It would be greatly appreciated. But Aaron, let's go to you. Timmy's going with Creighton versus Alabama. What about yourself?
Well, I'm definitely going Bama. I've been incredibly high on this team, as you should be, with the number 1 overall seed. It gets weird once you get down there because Arizona, they've lost to
Utah, Stanford.
They have some weird losses where they lose to some really, really bad teams. So, but man, I think, their lineup is so solid. I'm going chalk. I just think, you know, they're not going to see Baylor. I think they're going to end up seeing a higher seed. And then if they just have the size of Balo and the European dude who I can never pronounce his name, but
yeah, it's better than that butcher. Just
right,
just
exactly.
Call him the European dude.
So,
yeah.
I think we're getting chalk. Yeah.
I know all their numbers. I don't know.
I think we're getting chalk in that region.
Scott also knows every single mascot in this tournament, correct?
Oh, without it wasn't even close. They were giving it away for free this year.
You already said UC Santa Barbara, but what's Furman's mascot?
The Paladins. Paladins.
Okay.
So the one game I feel like we've passed up talking about so far is the Charleston-San Diego State game. And I know Charleston's probably going to be a popular pick, but I really like San Diego State in that game.
Okay, fair enough. Nickel, what is your Elite Eight and Final
Four?
You know,
this is probably my only region I'm going to have chalk. I'm going to have to go Bama. and Arizona. I really don't like Baylor as a 3 seed there. I don't like Virginia as a 4 seed. Honestly, if there was other two teams I would like going out of that region, it would be San Diego State or Creighton, but I'm going to have to go Bama winning this region and get into the Final Four. I just think this is probably the best setup they've had that they could have had going into this tournament with the matchups, because I don't like the 3 seed. I don't like the 4 seed. So I think Bama's going to win this region.
This is something we've talked about numerous times on the podcast. It's like, you're going to get your upsets in the first couple of rounds, but usually towards the end, the Sweet 16, the Elite Eight, you know, the ones, the twos, they're still going to be hanging around there. So unfortunately, I know it's not that exciting. I'm going to agree with them. I'm going to go chalk here in the Elite Eight. I think Alabama and Arizona get their way through. But unlike some of these guys, I'm a believer in Arizona. I think they got what it takes. If Alabama goes cold, they're screwed. They really rely on their three-point shooting. Brandon Miller is obviously a stud. He can carry them throughout this entire tournament. But I like Arizona coming out of the South over Alabama in the Elite Eight, Scott. What about yourself?
So I have the winner of San Diego State, Virginia, because of their defensive style, beating Alabama.
Oh.
That is what I'm going to call right now. The winner of that game beats Alabama. And I'll go, because you got to pick one. I'm going to go with Virginia just because how well-coached they are. Now, they could lose to Furman. But if they get by that game in the next one, I literally think it's a different kind of concept that Alabama has to play against. They're not used to that in the SEC. And I'm going to go Virginia in the Elite Eight. And on the bottom half, it's really tough. I think Arizona's size is a big mismatch for some of those teams. But you know what? I've been a Creighton Blue Jay fan. Got a sweatshirt for Christmas from my son, Timmy. And I just like
– Son of the year. Way better than that, Jay.
I like McDermott as a head coach. And, yes, they go up and down, and he doesn't care what kind of shot they take. And they have a big to guard those guys from Arizona. Two bigs, actually.
Yeah.
Starter 24, and I think his number –
At 11.
Yes, yeah. At 11. And so I think if they get that match – so I'm going to go Creighton, Virginia, in a huge so-called non-chalk selection for Elite Eight.
I like it. It's different. Deacon, any chance they have odds to win the region out yet or no?
Oh, yeah, Alabama minus 110.
Yeah.
Region winner? Yes.
Oh, yeah, they do?
Yes.
Alabama's odds?
Yeah, where
our stats guy's struggling. It's okay. Give him a second.
Alabama is plus 180.
Oh, okay.
Even odds, or plus odds. And who's the second highest? I'm assuming Arizona.
Arizona plus 360.
Give me that. Arizona plus 360 is my play out of that region. So I think that's everybody's picks that come out of the South. Let's move over to the right side of the bracket to the Midwest region, where you have Houston as the number one overall seed here, Texas coming in as the 2 seed, Xavier as the 3, Indiana, our Indiana Hoosiers, getting the 4 seed. I know Scott loves that, and Miami at number 5. So if you listen to the show you've been watching for the past couple of years, you know we are IU grads. So we have to talk about Indiana here for a second, because they lost last night in the semifinals of the Big Ten tournament against Penn State. They still stay in the 4 range, which we, you know, kind of expected in a way, but a lot of people had them at a 5. Are you surprised to see Indiana get the 4 seed, Nicole?
A little bit. I knew they were going to probably be a 4 or 5 no matter what. I just think, they lost yesterday to Penn State, and if they're looking at the quads, that was a quad 2 loss. So maybe if, you know, I thought they would fall to that 5 seed. But, you know, they got the 4. Like I said, I knew we'd probably match up with whoever won the MAC, which we did, you know, against Kent State. But, you know, 4 or 5, it was going to happen no matter what. And I think it's not a huge difference, honestly.
Yeah, Indiana's opening up as a 5.5-point favorite against Kent State. Aaron, what are your thoughts with Indiana's draw here?
I'm happy that Kent State beat Toledo, because I thought Toledo, if they were going to face Toledo, which more than likely they would have, that's not good for Indiana, because they can't defend the 3 to save their life. I don't understand what happened from last year, but they cannot guard one-on-one and always overhelp, and they leave 3-point shooters wide open, and it drives me insane. But I think you looked it up earlier that Kent State's like in the 90s,
97th from 3-point.
So that was my big concern coming into this. I know Scott's not the biggest Trace Jackson Davis fan, but I think he's just going to annihilate them. I think there just gets to a point where a team has too much size and too much talent in this game. I like it. This was a good matchup, I thought, for them. I'm happy we avoided Toledo.
Out of all the possible outcomes, I think Indiana got the best draw possible in their region.
I would say.
Timmy, you're an IU grad, so you've obviously, you know, been rooting for IU basketball over the past couple of years. you don't get the opportunity to talk about the Hoosiers. So what were your thoughts overall about the season as a whole?
I thought they did a lot better than I thought they were going to do at the beginning of the season. If you would have said going into the season, I would have said like a 6 or 7 seed. So getting a 4 is kind of surprising to me. And I thought for sure they were getting a 5 in this tournament, but it's kind of nice they got a 4 because the one team that I'm scared of, I think Drake beats Miami, but I think IU matches up not too great with Drake just because Drake can shoot threes. And like Aaron said, we do not defend the 3 well at all.
Is it crazy to say I'd rather face Miami than Drake?
No.
I'm sure everybody saw the stat when they played in their conference championship game. Drake has one 20-year-old in the starting lineup, and everybody else is 23 to 25.
Yeah.
So they're a veteran team. One kid locally here from Maryville.
Yeah.
And so I think that could be a tough matchup for IU. The Golden – the Kent State Golden Flashes is what I was going to refer to, their nickname. That could be a tough match for – and here's why IU. Trace Jackson Davis is a wonderful, outstanding college basketball player. But he does sometimes fall into a lull inside. And the problem for IU, when they lose to teams they shouldn't lose to and score 48 or 55 points, the other guys don't make shots.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so as yeah. much as, yes, it's a good matchup for them, I've seen that team literally go into a shell. The next thing you know, you look and it's 41-24 at halftime against a mediocre team. Yep. So, you know, Kent State just put, what, 87 up today in their championship game against Toledo yesterday, sorry. And so obviously they can put the ball in the basket. So we'll see. But they're that 4-5, the 5, I think they got one of the weakest fives in Miami. Miami just kind of struggling down the road.
Inconsistent at times.
I'm glad you brought up the age thing because last year when I played an older St. Mary's team, they got destroyed in that second round.
Yeah. Yep.
So that is something to look out for if we do win and then play Drake.
Yeah, let's not look past Kent State, Indiana. if you've watched Indiana basketball, you're like, we have, you know, no game is guaranteed.
Richmond's not in the tournament, are they?
They are not.
Okay,
no.
All right. Good for IU.
Yeah.
You have to go back a ways for those of you watching that might know the history with Richmond and IU in the tournament.
I don't even know the history. My dad probably knows. Yes. I know Ralph probably watches, so he knows about that. So well, that's enough about the Hoosiers. Let's go to the upsets here in this region. What's the one that jumps off the page for you? Open forum once again. Speak your piece.
I'll say that, you know, the IU regional there, I think what Timmy said, it's Drake. You know, Drake's a great three-point shooting team.
Those 5-12s.
You know, Miami's, inconsistent at times. I think Drake's been playing well lately, too. You know, their experience, I think, aren't they, like, older than, like, 5 NBA teams, I think, as a whole or something? It's crazy like that. But, I like Drake beating Miami as of right now.
What do we need to ask Deacon?
Total on the Iowa-Auburn game. There's no such thing as defense being played there.
154.
154 if you didn't hear Deacon.
Like, yes, there's 154.
I'm trying to think.
Who's Iowa State playing?
Who would be that one? Do you have
winner Mississippi State and Pittsburgh?
I think Pittsburgh wins that game, and I think they beat Iowa State. I've not been high on Iowa State. Iowa State plays good defense.
They beat Baylor twice.
Okay, but here's you got to dive into this. Baylor plays no defense.
You're not really liking Iowa State.
So
I'm on the same page.
But a team like Iowa State who has a weak offense, if they're playing against a piss poor defense, then that obviously helps to them. And Iowa State plays really good defense, so they're just a bad matchup for Baylor. I Pittsburgh, they were leading the ACC for like until the last like 2 or 3 weeks. I just have been not high on Iowa State all year, and I think they lose to Pittsburgh. So they lose to Mississippi State too. I think I think they lose to whoever the play-in winner is. But
Deacon, you said 154 for the over under in Iowa and Auburn. I still think they overhits.
It's definitely first 180 in that game.
Yeah,
because nobody's guarding anybody.
Iowa's offense away from home though.
Iowa couldn't guard us 5.
Wow. I would love the comment section to judge that comment.
Yeah, I think that Auburn-Iowa game is awesome. I like Auburn in that game. And I think if you have Auburn-Houston, that's another game that could be in like the 100s because both those teams just like to run and gun. And that game could be really intriguing.
Houston does defend in that one, but I tell you, Bruce Pearl, as much as he's kind of the hate child in the NCAA tournament coaching ranks, he can coach. And I got news for you. If he gets against Houston, especially if Sasser is dinged up for Houston, that takes one of those guards out of that rotation. And Auburn playing the SEC has played that physical style of ball. That could be something to look at in that matchup if they get through the first game. Mm-hmm.
Do you like an upset here in the first round of this region, Scott?
You know what? No, I really don't, other than I'm not a fan of Iowa State. What I'm really intrigued about, I don't know how in God's green earth they put Texas as a 2 and Texas A&M as a 7 in that. Because I'm telling you, that'll be one of the best round 32 games you'll ever see because there is so much talent on that court. If Texas A&M wins and Texas wins, which you both anticipate, I am telling you right now, just a great matchup. And that'll be my winner. That game goes to the Elite Eight and the Final Four out of that one.
I'm curious. Penn State, Texas A&M spread. Do you have that?
Yes. 3.5-point favorites, Texas A&M Aggies.
Mm. Texas has to be pissed at that drawing right there.
Buzz Williams probably throwing chalkboards.
Texas A&M as a 7 seed. You know, that's a team you don't want. They're playing like a, you know, 4 or 5 right now. And, you know, Texas seeing them, you know, Texas has been playing well. They're a national championship contender. But then you have to go and play Texas A&M second round. That's going to be tough.
LB Angel commented from 2 feet away from us. Can't wait for y'all to acknowledge the Boilers. We'll get to
that one.
We will have Jacob Angel join the stream to talk about Purdue.
I have two questions. Do they know how what's his face for Texas? What his health? Because I don't think he played in the Big 12 championship game.
I didn't know there was anybody Timmy. Injured.
Oh, Timmy Allen?
Yeah.
Timmy Allen. Yeah, he played, I thought.
Did he play?
Yes. I'm pretty sure he played. Yeah.
Okay. And I'm curious, Deacon, can you look that up, the over-under that game? Because Colgate's like one of the best offenses in the country.
Yeah, Colgate has the number one 3-point offense, right?
Shoot the lights
over 151.5.
Yeah, 151. If you didn't
just
hear
you
that
match up them. Against the size and athleticism of Texas, they get hard. That offensive yeah. production.
Texas is 15-point favorites.
Mm. But here's the thing: Colgate was in the top Colgate 5 with 3-point shooting. Right.
They were number one.
Yeah. Number one. So here's the thing: in that game like that, when you know you're out, man. Athletically at every position, you're gonna say, hey, what's our chance to win? Shooting 50% from three.
Yep.
Let's get the first look, fire it, and we might have a chance to put them from behind.
Always have a chance.
And anytime a team has to play chase against a team they know they're better from athletic wise. So let's say Colgate maybe hits their first 7 threes. Next thing you know, you look at the clock and it's 19-6. Then they start playing a little more helter skelter and you end up leaving guys open because you're looking to help. And Colgate stayed on any kind of a hot shooting streak, you just never know. Once again, last year, anybody talked to that pregame show, nobody in the wildest dreams of the size mismatch and talent mismatch thought in God's green earth that St. Peter's going to be Kentucky. So just remember that in the back of your mind.
St. Peter's, they beat Purdue, right?
They did. Beat Purdue in the round of 16.
I thought so. But, hey, credit to Jacob Angel. He was on the Peters from the start of the tournament. And
the Peacocks. The Peacocks. Get it right. Yeah. Remember, they beat Purdue on National Peacock.
Huh?
Have we talked about St. Mary's yet?
No, we're not.
We're not there yet. So, Timmy, let's get to our Elite Eight and Final Four picks coming out of the Midwest.
Elite Eight, I really like Texas. Or Texas to win the Midwest, and I think they're going to beat Houston in the Elite Eight. But Houston does kind of scare me with the Sasser injury because you don't really know
it's a groin. Too,
yeah, man. How healthy
it is. That leg stretched out like I've never seen it. Yeah. Here's the thing. If you would have said it would have been knee or side, I would have said something. But he said groin. Those things don't heal in 1 week.
No.
And the team I would like to look out for, I really like Texas. I've liked Texas all year, is Xavier. I think Xavier can make a run, and then I think they play Texas in that Sweet 16, and obviously anything can happen in one game.
Houston is the favorite to come out of that region at +150.
And I'm assuming Texas and then Xavier?
That's
after
correct.
That? Texas. And this, I don't want to go chalk here, Aaron, but it's hard to see a team beating Houston in that top half of the bracket for me personally.
It's Sasser's health, I think, is the
big question.
Granted, Memphis has played Houston tough all year in the conference, and they won today without Sasser.
Other two games were very tight.
Yeah,
2-point and 4-point games.
Yeah, with Sasser.
One was on a buzzer with Sasser on the court, right?
Yep. I mean, I like Texas. It's going to be I don't think that Colgate game is going to be easy. If they play A&M, that's clearly not going to be easy. And
no.
Xavier, who I thought would start struggling without Fremantle, he's, you know, their leader that they lost for the entire season a few weeks ago. I like Texas, and then, it's all about Sasser's health. So let's put an asterisk here. Sasser is good to go. I say Houston comes out of there. If he's not good to go,
say it. Say it, Aaron, because if you don't say it, I'm going to say it. If Sasser's not healthy, that's my take.
Give me the Auburn Tigers.
Okay.
Bruce Pearl's been there, done that. Indiana does not play consistent enough basketball.
No, they can't.
They just don't. So I'm going Texas, and then I think obviously Texas gets there. I'm very high on Texas, but give me Texas Auburn.
I think we're all high on Texas, if I'm not mistaken. Scott, how do you feel about the Longhorns?
I do, but I just think because I really like Texas A&M, especially in this last month of the season.
I hate how they're playing.
That just came out bad because I'm telling you, the winner of that game, I think, goes.
Final Four? The winner of that game, maybe? You think A&M?
I think they win that, but I'm – just don't be shocked if Drake wins two games. And then because of their veteran age, you know, all that, playing a ton of college games with the COVID rules and where he got 6-7 years eligibility, Drake matches up with Texas only because it's all about guards. Texas got their 6'9 guys, but they don't have that dominant guy that plays with his back to the basket a lot, and Drake doesn't really. So just as a sleeper, if Drake can get through. But once again, I think their first game against Miami, only because Miami's guard-oriented.
Yeah.
So, you know, this is really long,
right?
This is really a tough region. But for my Elite Eight, I am going to go Texas. You know what? I'm going to go with Aaron. I like Auburn. I like Auburn to pull the upset just because, once again, I, you know, never played any kind of high level in college. I saw that injury. And when his leg slid left, I'm thinking knee or something like that. When they say groin and you see a guy kind of do the old crow hop when you get to be old and you get up out of a chair and you can't move it, that doesn't heal in 5 days. And without Sasser, that team is not the same, which we saw today. Now, Memphis is good. Don't take me wrong. But we did not see that today, that explosiveness at the guard position.
All right, Nico, what are we thinking here? Elite Eight?
Yeah, this one's hard to pick, especially in that top half. Because, you know, Marcus Sasser, if he's not fully healthy, this Houston team is very vulnerable. I don't like, you know, Iowa, they have their moments, but they're still, you know, they're really consistent. Same with Auburn. Honestly, there's a good chance Drake can make some noise in this region.
Agreeing with Scott, huh?
But, man, say it. I'm going to say it. Indiana.
Thank you. Thank you.
No, they – I'm not – it's – I hate it because, like I said, they can't play that many games in a row, play that well. But I just really don't like any of these teams up here.
I don't either.
Without if Sasser's fully healthy and he looks like himself, it's going to be Houston. I think so. But so I would either have to say Houston. If not, you know, then maybe Indiana gets out of there. But I think also Drake can, you know, they can make a run. So
you had to know an IUBB guy is going to have IU in his Elite Eight. I have IU in the Elite Eight, and my confidence is at a 2% on that pick, but I'm going to be a homer just because you guys talked about it, the Sasser injury. It's worrisome. I think Texas comes out of that bottom half. I'm really high on Texas. They defeated Kansas twice, who has the most quad one wins in college basketball, that being the Jayhawks. So I think the Longhorns match up with IU in the Elite Eight, and Texas takes care of the Hoosiers by double digits. Oh,
I like
there.
Texas, by the way, too.
You didn't get the pick, yeah. So.
The one thing I want to touch on with A&M is I think it was Jeff Goodman tweeted that A&M is a 7 because their non-conference was so weak. And so
they have a quad 4 loss, too, and they lost. And so I forgot who they lost to, but it was a bad loss.
Yeah. And so I think the committee's just trying to tell teams, like, hey, you need to schedule a tough non-conference, or this is what's going to happen, which I really like.
That's fair. But they're playing, like, fair. A 4 or 5 now, though.
I understand all the analytics and who you play and all that, but you know what? They don't value the eye test as much as they should. If you watch a team play and you watch a team later in the season, now, if you watch Texas A&M and they're a 7 and you watch IU play in their tournament, who looks 3 seeds higher?
Yeah.
Not A&M. IU.
A&M.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. And once again, you got to compare, you know, a smaller conference against a big, but if you compare the Big Ten to the big SEC, well, the SEC is probably overall a little bit better this year, but it's comparable. So now you got IU at the 4 line and Texas A&M on the 7.
You could flop those.
Without a doubt.
Well, you look at the bottom of this region, I think it's a lot, hell of a lot better than the top half. You have Iowa State, you know, they're up and down, but they're a tough team in the Big 12.
Yeah.
Xavier's looking good. A&M, of course, you know, we just talked about them. Even Penn State can get streaky. Yeah. And then, of course, Texas. And then Colgate can shoot lights out. That's a tough bottom region to pick, even though Texas
This is a Penn State team that just ran through the Big Ten tournament and almost beat Purdue.
Well, let's keep that in mind, too. I mean, granted, Penn State is not Alabama, but Penn State plays Alabama-esque basketball when it comes to shooting threes.
Yes. Yeah.
And, I mean, Texas A&M just got the doors blown off them because Alabama was just on fire for
three. And A&M sucked in the first half.
So, if Penn State gets hot,
I think it's hard.
David said we got IU in the Elite Eight. What? Yeah, I told you I don't feel confident about it, David. But it's just least confident.
That top part of the bracket is sus.
He plays Mega Millions and Powerball all the time, too. So,
that's fair. All right, Scott, let's hear it. Who do you like?
Didn't I give mine
already? Oh, yeah, you did already give yours. Yeah. Okay, so we're all good on that region then, correct?
Yep.
A lot of Texas picks there. So let's just go right down to the west, right underneath. You have Kansas as the number one seed here, UCLA Bruins number 2, Gonzaga at 3, UConn at 4, and in a very interesting game with Arkansas and Illinois in the 8-9. My stats guy's flashing something at me. What you got?
UCLA is the favorite to come out of that region at plus 275.
Do you think that has to do with the fact that Arkansas is the next game if Kansas were to win, guys?
Oh, I'm sure it is. I mean, like, Arkansas has the talent to do it. You know, they it's like, can they put, you know, the freshmen put it together? Go ahead. Yeah.
I also think that's because UConn on the top matches up pretty well with Kansas because of their ability to score. And that's what Kansas is going to do. Kansas, yes, they play decent defense, but it's not like that. That's a Virginia team. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So a team like UConn loves to go up and down, and they have some athletes this year that literally can put the ball in the basket.
Yeah, Northwestern gets a 7 seed. That was an interesting to keep an eye on. They got some good wins in Big Ten play. Aaron wants another stat.
I want the over-under in that Northwestern-Boise game. It can't be over 130. It's got to be like 126.
Yeah, it has to be low.
128.5.
Oh, there you go. Nailed that one right on the head.
128.5.
I will say this is
such a bad game. If you like offense,
do not watch that game. David said UCLA is my favorite team in the tourney.
So then
they were mine last week until the Clark guy got hurt. You lose your 13 points a game, 7 rebounds, and I listened to sports shows. The best defensive player in that conference, the Pac-12, but some said the best defensive player in the country.
Yeah,
and when you lose a guy like that can actually defend a shooting guard or a small forward when you get into a tough matchup, man, that's a big loss. Because that ruins your rotation as well.
Yeah.
Foul trouble, something like that. You got another guy coming off the bench that might not play 6 minutes all year.
Yet they still are the favorites to come out of the West. Timmy, when you look at those first-round matchups in the West region, which one sticks out to you the most?
Matchup I'm really looking forward to because I've been high on them is VCU and St. Mary's. I think that game is going to be just a really good game in general. And I like both teams. I've said the people of St. Mary's go to Sweet 16. I've also said VCU is the type of team that can make a run to the Sweet 16. And I'm going to take VCU to beat St. Mary's in that game.
I agree.
But I think UConn is a little too much for VCU. Because I really like
what was the committee doing here? Look at this. Look at that bottom half. TCU from Texas. But then you have Arizona State, Nevada, West Coast teams. Gonzaga, West Coast. Grand Canyon, West Coast.
Yeah.
Boise State, West Coast, and UCLA. They must have been trying to save all those teams on travel money or something.
Not Northwestern.
Not Northwestern.
They make Northwestern.
They're going to make the smart kids travel.
And UNC Asheville is going to go way out there. Now, remember, they put those games by that, but UCLA will probably get it somewhere out west because people think before they used to do all the tournament sites, if you were in the west, you played out west. Remember now they do the pods.
Yeah.
The pods. So not knowing where that'll be, but I almost promise you because UCLA is the lower seed, that's going to be out west.
UNC Asheville, what's their mascot?
The Bulldogs.
Okay. Guy don't miss, people. You don't miss. All right, Aaron.
The Grand Canyon, though. Grand Canyon. Come on, help me out there, boys.
Antelopes.
It used to be Antelopes. Now they changed it to the Lopes. The Lopes. All right.
Is that, like, politically correct?
I don't know what would have been wrong with the Antelope. Is it on the distinguished list? Or, I mean, what do you call it? Extinct list?
I don't know.
They had to make it the Lopes?
Save money on font spelling for t-shirts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You get the Lopes on the
listen
front
to Timmy. Right. He's a middle school coach. He knows about this stuff. Aaron, first round matchup that sticks out to you. Or an upset.
Here's what I'm really looking at here. So let's say potentially you get Gonzaga TCU and you get Kansas Arkansas. Now, the two things which would surprise you, and I just looked this up and it surprises me, Arkansas and TCU are both higher than 300 at three-point percentage. They're horrendous at shooting threes. And so it's bad. It's really bad. So it's like Kansas and Gonzaga, two teams that have dynamic offenses. If they get out early, I don't think TCU or Arkansas have the ability to shoot threes to catch up. So I think that's a glaring thing if you think that maybe Arkansas can upset Kansas or TCU can upset Gonzaga. Gonzaga, I think, for the first time in what, maybe 3 or 4 years, are kind of like under the radar-ish, not the one seed.
I'm not really talking about them.
So, but God, them against TCU would be very interesting. But I still really like Kansas. I'm with Timmy on the VCU thing. It's like the only game this week that I win bets on was betting on VCU. They just were rolling through the A-10. In the A-10 tournament. So I like them to beat St. Mary's too.
I don't know if this is my mom or my dad commenting, but they agree with David for UCLA being a favorite in the tournament. I'm going to assume it's my mom. She's a big fan, I think, of California.
I think he's the best coach in the country, Matt Cronin's.
Ooh, okay.
I've always been
always great at when anybody throws a curveball at him, and that to me makes the difference.
Great coach.
And that, and like Tom Izzo, which I know a lot of people don't like, especially Big Ten IU guys, but here's the problem. What makes a great coach is when they have adjustments to your adjustment. And then on the inbounds plays, when it's crucial in the game, last minute of the game underneath the inbounds, there's always two options. That first one doesn't work, it automatically goes into a second option. A lot of coaches don't put that in. So that makes a difference. I think Cronin makes a difference in tight games like that.
It was my dad that said that. My dad is very high on UCLA. Okay, very interesting. Nickel, any teams on upset watch here in this region for you?
Yeah, VCU is one that stands out that we just talked about. I really don't see Iona beating UConn. I really don't like any upsets in this one, honestly.
We got to get a total. Gonzaga Grand Canyon's got to be in the 150s.
Oh, yeah, that one has to be high.
If not 160.
156.5.
Those two teams that, once again, they it's not about their defense. They just love to get up and down. I mean, Gonzaga's like the old Loyola Marymount. Two inbounds passes across, and Timmy's getting the ball on the block.
Well, talking about UCLA, if you want to, you know, hypothetical, I think they win definitely against Asheville. But then whoever wins that Boise State Northwestern game, UCLA, upset alert. Yeah. And I really think without Clark, they went through a weak Pac-12. They kind of look suspect against the Colorado matchup in the Pac-12 tournament. They just lost Arizona. Arizona's a good team. But like you said, Clark's that's a big missing piece.
That goes to a defensive battle against either one of those teams. Either one of those teams. Northwestern. And we saw, you know, what happens when teams get slowed down that like to go, or you keep teams in the game because you play at that slow pace.
Yeah.
You know what? You might call me crazy, but my Sweet 16 out of that lower half, Northwestern versus TCU. I think Northwestern defeats UCLA in the second round, and I like TCU upsetting Gonzaga there in the second. I think it's going to get very weird in the West. So
yeah, you're crazy.
We might as well go to our picks here for the West region. Shout out to Ken Hall. He said, I got in a little late, but boiler up. Hey, we haven't even talked about Purdue yet, so I guess you're here in time, Ken. Welcome to the stream. So let's get to the picks. Scott, I'll let you go first out of the West region. What are you liking?
I'm going Gonzaga against Arkansas. No, you know what? I'm going to change it. I'm going Gonzaga against UConn. 3-4 in the Elite Eight. Why? I just watched those teams play a lot. Gonzaga struggled early in the year, even had a loss to a Big Ten team early in the year. Who was that?
It was Purdue.
They lost to Purdue. Everybody said, oh, this could be a down year for Gonzaga. If you watched them play the last couple times, both times this last time against St. Mary's, completely dominated them. So I think they're peaking at the right time. Obviously, they've been there. They have the experience. Timmy's in his 12th year of eligibility.
Congrats, Timmy.
I mean, yes, he's going to be down there at the end. And you know what? He is a tough guard. Why? Because he's a very good passer and yet can create his own shot.
He knows how to use his body.
His body, does great with the fadeaway. So even if you're playing against a 7-footer, he's 6'9" or whatever he is, he does that little one-step fadeaway where he's very good at. So I'm gonna pull him way away from chalk here. I think this is an upset bracket. Maybe I have to call you guys that with the TCUs and that. But I like those two for upsets in that bracket.
I think Deacon's got something for us.
Oh, but you haven't got to that region yet.
Huh?
You haven't got to Purdue.
Oh, okay. He's already jumped in. Stats guy is over on the other region.
He's Purdue fans.
I know. We're saving you guys for last.
Talk about it.
Calm down.
Hey, it's an engineering school. We're always thinking ahead.
That's actually a good one. All right, Timmy. You get to follow your dad here for your Elite Eight.
I hate this, but I have the same Elite Eight as my dad.
Whoa!
That's why it's really scaring me, because I think the only team we don't have in the same Elite Eight is UX Virginia, and I have Alabama versus whoever played Creighton. But I like Gonzaga a lot. I think it's weird because Gonzaga is usually a team that everyone's high on going into the tournament. This year it's kind of different. Like, they kind of faltered early in the year, and so people kind of slowed down on them. So I think they're kind of flying under the radar, and I really like their matchup against TCU at Grand Canyon. And then I agree with Kyle that Northwestern beats UCLA in the second round.
There it is.
And then with UConn, I think they run through the first weekend pretty easily.
Yeah.
And then I like them to beat Kansas in the Sweet 16. I know people want to pick against Kansas with that Arkansas game right there, but I still think Kansas is too much talent for Arkansas. But then I like UConn beating Kansas, and then Gonzaga beating UConn, Elite Eight.
Aaron, before you go, North Carolina has chosen not to enter the NIT tournament. Wow. So from being preseason number one to saying, no, we're not a part of the NIT. So shout out to the North Carolina fans out there. Who are you pointing at?
No, one double-digit seed has reached the Sweet 16 since 2008. And we're not even on the last bracket. I'm calling for four right now.
Can I hear it?
Wow. Well, we're going to get there, but let's go.
All right, Aaron, Elite Eight.
I'm on the Gonzaga train. I think they'll end up matched up with TCU, and I just, again, they're the number one scoring offense in the country.
Yep.
I will take great offense over great defense any day of the week.
You know what Aaron told me? I'm Gonzaga's beating TCU. I changed my mind.
Wow.
Well, I'm looking down. Like, I didn't realize how bad of a three-point shooting team they are.
Yeah.
It's bad. And I'm sorry, but if you're not getting into track meet if you can't shoot threes against Gonzaga. So I don't know really how that dynamic works for them. And then, I think Kansas gets by Arkansas. Again, with how bad they shoot three-point percentage, and I think Jalen Wilson will be the best player on the floor. You can disagree with me and say Nick Smith's better. I don't know. Whatever. And then you get Bill Self, who they said reported is going to be there for the first game of the tournament.
Out of the hospital.
Guy that's been there. Clearly, they just won. So I'm going with them to come out of there. I think they're going to make another deep run. I just think they have so much talent. So we get Gonzaga and Kansas. Oh, man, do I have to pick between those two?
Yes, you do, Aaron. That's usually how the brackets go.
Wow. You know what? I think this is going to be interesting, and I think it's going to be the one year where Gonzaga's not a one seed, but they actually make some sort of noise. So, all right, give me Gonzaga.
That was my thought process when I changed it. I was like, oh, they're not really expected to be good, so maybe they'll be good.
This Kansas just doesn't have – like, they have that athletic younger guy as their big, and I think he's just going to have trouble with Timmy. He's a guy that's experienced, you know, obviously been – in the tournament, gone deep in the tournament. So,
and it's very hard to repeat as champion, but Nickel, what's your Elite Eight?
It's the same. We all have Gonzaga, which is, it's kind of
terrifying.
Yeah, that is terrifying.
So don't put Gonzaga in your Elite Eight. We all five of us are going with Gonzaga.
Yeah, I think
that's a guaranteed first round leg.
Yeah, there you go.
Yo, like you said, Gonzaga against TCU. I'm high on TCU, but you know, Mike Miles Jr., he hasn't been the same since his injury. Gonzaga, you know, top scoring offense in college basketball. So I like Gonzaga beating them, you know, getting to the Elite Eight also, because I don't think UCLA is going to go far without Clark. And then, Kansas, I really like them. With Bill Self back, you know, one of the best college basketball coaches in the country, if not the best. So I really think they can beat Arkansas. And after that, you know, beat, you know, VCU, St. Mary's, whatever, and UConn, they've just been so up and down for me. I really don't like them at all. So I'm liking Kansas, and I think Kansas is going to go to the Final Four.
Yeah, I'll make it short and sweet. Kansas versus Gonzaga in the Elite Eight. I think Kansas is too much for them. I mean, there's a really good shot they win it all again. They've been, I think, the most consistent team all season, the most quad one wins. Just an electric team to watch. So I got Kansas defeating Gonzaga there in the Elite Eight out of the West region. So let's move on over to the East, where the number one seed, Purdue Boilermakers.
There we go.
Yeah, I was waiting for a cheer. I was waiting for a cheer. Jacob Angel, you're allowed to join the stream if you would like to talk about Purdue. Marquette is the number two seed. Kansas State, number three. Tennessee, four. And Duke coming in at number five. What's jumping off the page to you guys here first?
National champs, Purdue.
I think this is a tough region.
That was Jacob, by the way.
True. I think this is the worst region to be in, man. Number one seed. Really do.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's brutal.
Top to bottom, I think. A lot of teams in this region.
Stats guy.
Purdue is the favorite to come out at plus 220, with Tennessee being plus 380.
Deacon, what was that?
Tennessee is the second favorite to come out at plus 380.
Purdue?
Purdue is the favorite to come out at plus 220.
What's Duke's odds?
Oh, God.
Plus 1,000 to be the region winner.
Ooh,
wow.
Plus 450.
ACC is not a good conference.
All right.
Speaking of Tennessee, though, that's the upset I like in the first round. I like the Raging Cajuns to take down the Volunteers. Wow. I think Tennessee has just been way too inconsistent over the course of the year. And Louisiana, although I have not much watched Louisiana basketball, I have seen a couple games, and they're a solid team all around. I think if Tennessee comes out flat, Louisiana can take advantage and beat them the first round.
We have two different comments here. I want to pull them up. Ken Hall says Duke concerns me. I don't know if that's a positive thing or a negative thing towards Duke.
I think it's a positive.
Yeah, that they could potentially ruin Purdue's run. And Ralph says Duke is coming out of this region, so it looks like the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree there with that selection.
Put a bet on it, bro.
Yeah, plus 1,000, though. Those are some great odds. Duke's playing some great basketball right now. Aaron, what kind of upsets do you like here out of this region?
Man, I was really hoping Oral Roberts to get matched up with anybody but
Duke.
Yeah. Because you got Duke that's playing some of the best basketball. And it's weird because, in contrast, you think Duke, great offense, but they're actually defensively have been outstanding. And Oral Roberts, one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country against one of the best three-point defenses in the country. So that's going to be a very interesting dynamic. Like Timmy's pick, Tennessee, like they had said on the show, are kind of overseeded because Sakai Ziegler tore his ACL, their star freshman point guard. So I think they're going to be in trouble. I love USC against Michigan State. I think USC is starting to play really good basketball at the end of the season. And Michigan State, weird because they're one of the best by percentage three-point shooting teams in the country. I think they're in the top five. But they really depend on those guards with why am I blanking on their names? Hogard and Hunter?
Walker.
Tyson Walker. So I think Marquette is foaming at the mouth right now. I think it's got a pretty good side for them here. I think I'm going to go with Timmy with Louisiana.
Purdue goes 29-5, wins the regular season Big Ten and the tournament. They got the National Player of the Year. But you could probably argue they have the hardest region to come out of, wouldn't you think?
I think even going into that, if they, you know, of course they're going to probably win the 16 seed game, but.
Probably.
Yeah. It's only been done once.
0.007% chance they lose.
Fairleigh Dickinson Knights can be tough on any given night.
Oh, that's what they're saying. That's what Scott's saying.
But man, the Memphis Florida Atlantic game, that's going to be one hell of a game. Both teams playing great basketball right now. Memphis just won the AAC conference over Houston. FAU only has 3 losses on the year. I don't think they've lost since December. And FAU, too, they have a 7-1 center. He's averaging over 10 points a game. He's from Russia. So, hey, if FAU wins that matchup against, you know, that's a guy that could handle Edie a little bit. I know it's a big difference. Edie's a lot better. But, you know, you get a center that's 7 foot tall guarding Edie. That's going to be a matchup problem, too, if you pressure Purdue's guards. But not saying it's a huge matchup, but that FAU-Memphis game, I think they're going to give Purdue some trouble.
Stats guy says times are starting to come up for the tournament. Purdue plays Friday at 6:50 Eastern time. So if you're a Purdue fan watching, there you go. There's the time for that tip.
Oh, Jacob will love that because he's home from work by then, so he gets to watch.
Jacob, aren't you off on Friday?
I'm off.
Oh, there we go. Wow. Jacob's ready to go.
You play?
Please find the IU time, but Scott, a lot to digest in this region.
Oh, boy, I love it,
I'll let you get into
it. I got Oral Roberts and Louisiana both winning. Oral Roberts will beat Duke. Now, I'm not a Purdue lover. I love the fact that they did something. They're picked to finish 7th. Had a great season. Oh. But like you guys mentioned, that Memphis Florida Atlantic will be a tough matchup. Yes. Here's why. The physical guard play that has now been played with the IU beating Purdue twice, you've seen in the Big Ten tournament to where the guys were backing those young guys down, the freshmen from Purdue. That's going to be an issue in the tournament. Now, we don't know how it's going to be called. You know, a lot of Purdue fans think Edie gets beat up down low, doesn't get foul calls and all that.
He does.
Think sometimes it happens, but here's the thing. It's either called really tight or very loose.
Yeah.
So the question is, how do you want it called? Because I got news for you. Purdue doesn't go 9 deep. So if they start calling a bunch, Edie gets all his calls down low, and then they're calling those reaches because the guards from Memphis are athletic against Purdue at second. They could be down to their 6th guard by halftime because I got news for you. Lawyer and Smith are not guarding the 2 guards from Memphis and staying with them. It's just not happening. So that being said.
Scott, I got to put a pin in this. Indiana plays Friday night at 8:55. I believe that's the last game.
Second to last
game Friday night. So we will not be going out.
Purdue plays before
that. Watch it somewhere.
Purdue plays first. Wow, this place will be electric on Friday night down here.
Maybe we should watch it.
Got Purdue and IU back to back. Look out.
I tell you
that's going to be entertaining to say the least.
I'll let you.
So let me just finish my region concert. Yeah. I think Marquette, as much as I'm a Kansas State guy, I think Marquette is a tough matchup for them.
Yeah.
I think Marquette breezes through the bottom. So I'll just go ahead, since I've been doing all the talking, and give Marquette. And I am going to say from the top half.
It's tough.
I really want to say Oral Roberts, but I'm going to say Memphis.
If
Oral Roberts is there, you heard it. I was this close to taking him to make the Elite
Eight. So Memphis over Oral Roberts in the Sweet 16.
Man, and I'm telling you, I don't know. I might switch by tomorrow morning, but I'm going to show right now.
I'll probably switch.
That's the thing with this, guys. These are just gut reactions to the bracket. They might not be what we do final, but that's what Scott's going with. Timmy, did you go yet? I'm sorry.
I've not, and I kind of – I hate saying this. I like Kentucky out of the bottom bracket to go to the Elite Eight.
Mm.
And then I like – Duke to be in the Elite Eight too. So I think you get a Duke Kentucky Elite Eight matchup. And then I like Duke to go to the Final Four.
Aaron.
And I'm not saying this to be a homer, but I do think Purdue gets beat. If I'm Purdue, I'm hoping and praying that they play FAU because I think Memphis, they played Houston 3 times tough. So So they know how to play top echelon teams tough.
Yeah.
While FAU, I mean, not to diminish these smaller conferences, but I just think.
FAU for just being a 9 seed says a lot.
Right. And whether you have a 7-1 guy or not, Edie is just going to be different. And
he's the best player. No.
Yeah. He's just a nightmare to go against. But like what Scott said, and the problem is this is a reason why a lot of people don't think Big Ten teams make it to the championship and win it is because the officials don't call the fouls that these ridiculous Big Ten refs do. But I'm going Duke. I hate to say it, but man, they're just playing really good basketball right now. I think eventually having all those freshmen will end up costing them. But then I got Marquette, and I got Marquette in the Final Four. I love
come it. Say your piece. I know you have stuff to say. Come on up. Come on up, Jacob.
There we go.
Let's say your piece. I know you got stuff to say. What are we thinking here?
I'm going to go to work tomorrow.
How are we feeling about Purdue?
Well, this guy's picking Duke, and Duke plays in the worst Power 5 conference.
I agree with you. And they're just not going to do good in the tournament.
All right. Do you have Purdue coming out of this region, Jacob?
I think it's either Purdue or Marquette.
Okay. So going with Chalk
in the Elite Eight there.
Fair enough. Sam Angel in the comment section saying, go Cats, of course. And she also said Big Chair has to work tomorrow. That he does.
So. I just want to go back. Big Chair last year also said the ACC was the worst conference, and they had 2 Final Four teams. So.
Rebuttal?
The ACC was better last year, and I don't think I said that.
All right.
So wait. Testing time here. Nickel, you're first. Final four teams from last year.
Oh, man. Kansas, of course. Geez.
There's 2 2s, a 1, and an 8.
The 8 was North Carolina, Duke, Kansas, and Villanova.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah. Wow. Ding, ding, ding.
Because next year we're going to have like a straws. You got to know enough about college basketball to make this panel.
I'm just the host.
I guess you're in no matter what.
Yeah, that's right. It's my network, I guess, so I can do what I want. My mom said, Aaron, you said you were hoping and praying. She's proud of you for saying that.
Figure your speech, Don. So I'm liking the same as Aaron again.
You guys should just kiss.
I like Duke. If Duke could get past Oral Roberts, I like them coming out of that top region. They're just playing some great basketball right now. Derek Lively's been picking it up too, offensively too. So that's huge. And then Derek Whitehead.
Bye, Deacon. Thanks for the stats. Have a good night.
Bye, Daddy.
And then Derek Whitehead off the bench. He's been playing well. So I like Duke the top. And then the bottom, I like Marquette. Kansas State could be another team up there.
That Kansas State Marquette matchup is
so streaky too. Yeah. But Marquette, they've been playing great basketball. Shaka Smart's been doing awesome this year. So I like them coming out of the bottom. So Marquette, Duke, and I think I'm gonna have Marquette going to the Final Four.
I tell you what, I never count out Michigan State. I just can't. Doesn't matter. They always find a way. They're always in the conversation. I believe if they can get past USC, they have a chance to beat Marquette. I'm not picking it. I think Marquette and Kansas State is what we get there in the Sweet 16. But I actually think Kansas State is going to defeat Marquette to face Duke in the Elite Eight. I also have Memphis defeating Purdue like Scott. That game could obviously go either way, but I'm going to be a hater and just pick against Purdue because why not? So I got Duke coming out of the East region to advance to the Final Four. And at plus 1,000 odds, I like those odds right there. So we got our Final Four teams. We might as well just give our national championship matchup and our champion. Timmy, what's your Final Four and who you got winning it all?
So my Final Four is Alabama, Gonzaga, Duke, and who am I missing on the top region?
Texas.
I like Texas, and then I like Alabama, and I like Texas to win it all in the national championship.
Any reasoning behind Texas?
I just think Marcus Carr is good enough to get you there. I think in March, if you have one good player, he's the type of dude that can have like a Kemba Walker type run, Shabazz Napier type run, those two UConn guys. But I do believe that he is enough, and then just the pieces around him, they're good enough to get there. And Alabama scares me. I think Alabama, obviously, has the national championship, but I like Texas.
All right, Aaron, let's hear your Final Four.
Wow, tough. All right, so I've got Bama. I'm very high on Bama. Coming out of the East, I have Marquette. I have Bama beating them. So I got Bama in the national championship game. And then it's Gonzaga and Texas. I'm going Bama, Texas, and I'm going Bama. I think they have the best player in college basketball. They can shoot threes. Are you copying me again?
Well, we have the same final four. We already went through
this
it.
This is what I deal with every show. They just have the same opinions.
He goes first, too, so he gets all the glory.
Oh, yeah, that's not fair.
We already named our final four.
I had Bama, right? Yeah. And then I had Texas. Exactly. And then I have Gonzaga. And then it's Marquette out of the East.
Oh boy!
I got Bama winning it all. I love teams that can shoot threes. I love teams that have a star player that can literally take over a game just because he's that good. They actually played somewhat decent defense this year. So
I have Kansas.
Give me Bama, number one overall seed.
Going with Bama to win it all. All right, Nickel, what's your play?
So I have a couple ones and a couple twos. I have. Let's see. Houston, or no?
It's Elvis.
I have Texas, Texas, Kansas, and Marquette and Bama. I'm gonna have Bama, Texas also, but I'm gonna have Texas winning. Okay. I like Texas is the most talented team.
Three national championship all the same.
God, I was gonna go with Texas, but I might have to change my pick. So my final four, they have two Texas right here. I might be a Texas. So I got Arizona and Duke matching up. I like Arizona to win that one and get to the national championship game. With Texas and Kansas, they've played three times this year. Texas has won two of them, I believe, right? Two of the three matchups that they had.
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, I think it's going to be different. Screw it. I'm going with Texas. I don't care that they picked Texas. I'm sticking with it. Texas versus Arizona. And I'm going to make it a third. The Texas Longhorns are going to be the national champions.
Wow.
Welcome.
What about you, Scott?
I have Creighton and Marquette matching up with Marquette winning and going to the championship game.
Okay.
And the other, UConn and Texas. And I have Texas making the championship. However, I have Marquette beating Texas in the championship.
Wow.
I think the Big East and the Big 12 by far are the best conferences. And yet at the same time, I don't think Kansas might win three games in this tournament. I just think something about trying to repeat.
That's hard.
Something goes astray. Yeah. Now, remember last year,
yeah.
if I'm not mistaken, that game at halftime in the round of 1-8 was Creighton had them down, or it was a really tight game, and even in the second half. And this is the one year in this tournament, I literally think there could be 20 teams right now you can make a list of. Yes, if they got on the right roll, they could win.
Yeah.
There's no dominant team this year. I have four top 10 or double-digit seeds making the Sweet 16, Utah State, Boise State, Oral Roberts and Drake. I just think it's going to be one of those tournaments where anything can happen. Because there's just not that dominant talent, especially with the bigs.
I mean, what are you smoking over there?
The peanut gallery time.
We have to do this in a closed caption audience. Is it like where the fans get to interact and like clap when I make a funny joke?
Brandon
or something.
Newman over there.
So here we go. We got 2 minutes away from 7 o'clock. I know somebody wants to watch an award show down here. So, Timmy, any final remarks before we sign off?
No, I'm excited. Fun first show. Do with you guys, and
We will be doing some more shows. We usually recap the first weekend and then preview the final four. So, probably two more episodes coming out. Aaron Nickel, any final?
I want to hear his final four. Let's hear it.
Oh, Jacob, let's hear your final four before we sign off.
Do you remember the bracket?
I got Marquette.
Ooh, not Purdue.
Kansas. Bama.
He doesn't have the bracket in front of him.
You don't have the Gonzaga region.
Yeah.
Gonzaga, Texas.
UConn. That's the region.
Who else is in that?
The suspense is killing
Houston's
me.
Region. That's Houston's region.
If Houston's healthy, I like Houston, but I'll probably go with Texas is playing really well.
Wow, same final four as me.
Wow. Look at you guys.
Who's winning it all, Jacob?
I think it's either going to be Marquette or Texas.
Just like your father.
Wow.
I'm telling you guys are very similar.
Texas is very hot.
Yeah, I agree.
Just like your father.
Same final four as me. That's
Marquette is extremely hot and big.
Remember this, folks. The last time an interim coach took over during a season and won a national championship was 1989 when they fired Steve Fisher, took over for Bill that went to Arizona State. He took the Arizona State Frieder. Bill Frieder took the Arizona State job before their NCAA tournament. They said, sayonara, see you later.
and they won it.
Steve Fisher ran over with Glenn Rice. They won the national championship. Same thing in Texas during the middle of the season, a little bit earlier. I can't think of the coach's name that took over now for Chris Beard, and now is running the show. I don't know, 1989, 2023. It's been a long time. Let's see if that plays to fruition.
It just might happen because a lot of us are high on Texas here. Don't forget, we got our bracket challenge. I have it on our social, so go to us at March2_Madness. I will give you the password, and you can Venmo me. We'll work out the payment information. But thanks again, Scott, for letting us host the show here in LB. Appreciate the hospitality, as always. You are a sweetheart, and I think that's all we got for you guys. So thanks to everybody that tuned in live.
Happy March.
Happy March to everybody, and good luck filling out those brackets. God, I don't think I added the stream, so don't say anything. It's too stupid.
Game over gags.
I think I accidentally, the stream's still running, so.
Good. Long live Bill Walton.
Huh? Don't fool Bill Walton. I'll let you know when we're off the air.
We need a stream of Jacob reactions to things his dad says.
Yeah, you guys have the same championship.
Right?
Funny how that works.
We have to have a side camera.